Good morning and welcome to worship. We're so glad you could join us today. And as we come into the Lord's presence on the second Sunday of Christmas, we give thanks for his presence in our lives, for the way he's seeing us through this time of trial, but also for the signs of hope that are breaking through in our lives because of his grace. So as we begin this morning, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this chance to be together again. We're thankful that at the beginning of this new year, that we can remind ourselves to make you first in all things in our lives. And Lord, we're grateful that you do reign over your creation. And Father, as you've given us free will, and we live in a fallen world where many things are broken, and broken within us as well, we can come before you and experience your grace and be changed. Remind us again today who we are. Remind us again today of who you are. Remind us again today of all that is possible when you are free to work in our lives. And may it be so to your glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This time we'll sing. Okay, at this time, we do want to go to prayer, and we ask that you be praying for my wife's father, Don Lehman. He had to go into the hospital yesterday with pain that's developing now as a result of his cancer, but they have some patches that are helping, and so he's home and resting today, but please be in prayer for Don. Also, my brother-in-law, Mark Wilson, had to go into the hospital just after Don got home from the hospital yesterday with kidney stones that are really bad. So they put a stent in, and they'll be taking him back in a few weeks to finish the situation. But I appreciate prayers from my brother-in-law, Mark. And then Chester came through his procedure well this week, so we're giving thanks for that. And others of you I know have been touched by the Lord recently, and we give praise and thanks to him. But we want to pray for our world. We still haven't defeated this virus, but we pray for the vaccines to continue to spread. And we pray for all the other impacts that are happening financially, relationally, the challenges to families who can't be together like they want to be, that these things will also begin to be resolved and that help is on the way. So as we come before the Lord, let's remember that we belong to him, and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love and your mercy. Lord, if we have eyes to see, signs of these things are everywhere we look. We're walking miracles today, having been touched by your love, having been turned around from the path that we were on by your grace that is more than sufficient for us. And it's all because of Jesus. It's because he came, and we celebrate and remember that at this glorious time of year. And we're so grateful, Lord, as we saw the snow over the last couple of days, to be reminded that though our sins are as scarlet, they can be white as snow because of you. And so, because of your forgiveness and your love, we come before you, Lord. And because you've invited us to, we bring these needs and concerns to you. We pray for our world. Everyone is battling to overcome the effects of this virus. Everyone's trying to avoid being touched by this virus directly. And those who are fighting for their lives need your touch. Those who are caring for them on the front lines, like our own George and Linda, Lord, just go to them and give them strength and mercy and hope. Continue to protect them, Lord, as many of them have received the vaccine now. We pray for those who still need it to get it soon. We pray that it will be effective in this fight. But Lord, continue to give us hope and renew our minds as we focus on you, believing that better days are ahead. And we're thankful for the pockets of good news that we see and the stories of hope where people have given their lives and given of their time and energy to see others blessed besides the challenges. Father, today we come before you and we mention those of our number and those of our families who need your touch. Lord, I pray for my father-in-law this morning, Don Lehman. I ask that you will graciously touch him and relieve his pain and just give him strength for each day. We're so grateful for the attitude that he has demonstrated in his battle with cancer. He's an overcomer by your grace. Continue to help him today. I pray for my brother-in-law, Mark, and ask that you'll touch him there recovering in the hospital, possibly going home tomorrow. Just help things to work well for him and his recovery. And Father, we pray for all of our families who need your touch. And we're praying for those in our church family who also need your touch. We're grateful that Chester came through his procedure. We hope that healing continues in his body. He's got another one coming up soon. So again, just continue to watch over and touch him and all in our congregation who need your touch. But Father, we also are followers of Jesus Christ. And what matters most in our lives is that the sins in our lives have been forgiven, that your grace is unfolding within us, Lord, that we're being transformed into Jesus' likeness. Father, on our own, we would be far from you, completely uninterested in just focusing on ourselves. But Lord, continue to change us and to make us more. Bind us together in your love, that we would be the people of God, sharing hope and sharing love and good news wherever we go. Help us where we fall short, Lord, and help us not to lose that desire to keep growing in you, to know you more, and to turn away from the world and to turn toward you in love. And so now continue to speak in these moments that we share together. Be with those who are watching online, Lord. Help them to focus on you and to experience your grace and mercy today where they are. We're grateful for the fact that they are following you and that they are following along today. We count them among us, and we give you praise and thanks for all of this. In Jesus' powerful name, amen. Normally at this time, we would pass the plates for giving, but there are plates you can give to on your way out today. If you're watching online, please use the Give Today button on our church website or on whatever platform that you're watching on today. We appreciate your faithfulness in giving, and we know the Lord will bless you for it. Okay, let's turn our attention to God's Word at this time. We'll be in Ephesians 1 today, and beginning our reading at verse 3. Paul is writing here to a church that is growing in him, but perhaps they're a second generation now, beginning to try to move forward in faith. And they're being reminded of the roots that they have and the heritage that they have received. So let's be reminded along with them. So let's stand together in honor of God's word. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. He has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ. As a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Well, many people live their lives seeming always to trust in the wrong stories and to trust in the wrong people. When you set your hope on wrong stories and wrong people, it doesn't lead to good things. If you set your hope on celebrities and sports heroes, they almost always let you down. People who thrive on attention often get consumed by it and make destructive choices. People who trust in worldly success can never have enough. With every conquest, the need for more makes it all the more meaningless. And just when you achieve a financial or a career goal, here comes someone else nipping at your heels. They're a little bit more of a careerist, so they were a little more clever or more talented than you, and you can't teach talent. Well, people who put their trust too much in family also may end up feeling let down or betrayed by family. Family is one of the most important things in life, and I hope we're all investing in our families. But you can't control how it goes in your family. You can't make people love you or act lovingly toward you. And don't set your hopes on your retirement either, because the best laid plans of mice and men can get steamrolled by a pandemic or by a single bad investment or by illness or loss. Now, part of why this passage was written was because human adults know what it's like to set their hope on people and things that just can't deliver. Paul writes to us about a larger story, a better story that we can trust even as the ages roll on. Well, another concept that's in this passage is the idea of being orphaned. To be an orphan is to lose your parents, to be cut off from the support of family. And maybe we all feel a little separated, like temporary orphans cut off from the type of closeness that we want to share with each other. And I'm sure we all have stories of the pain of being separated so much more than we want to be right now. Hopefully, that's temporary. For some people, though, it's unique, and being orphaned is more permanent. If your parents died when you were young, you know what it's like to feel suddenly cut off from the full support and love of family. Sadly, some little children do get completely abandoned by parents who can't take care of them or simply stop caring or stop being able to care. Now, I was blessed with an incredible mother, and I was an adult of 38 when my mother died, and still there was a sting in that loss. I can't tell you how hard it was to not be able to pick up the phone and call my mom. Sometimes just to hear her voice, but sometimes to help me as a young pastor figure out these human beings I was trying to serve. Her experience and her wisdom were so helpful to me time and again. And she didn't always support my perspective. Sometimes she challenged me directly, and I welcomed the challenge. But always she was praying for me, and I could feel it in my life. It was like a gaping hole when she passed. I wasn't ready for her to be gone just yet. But that's what happened, and I had to move forward. But there was a critical window there in how I was responding to the loss of my mother. Would I lean in and trust God even more to guide me on a daily basis? Or would I remain forever in a sense of loss that she was not there to advise? Could I have actually begun to make her into an idol that was now missing in my life? Could I have turned bitter as a result of her being taken while I was young? Well, good thing God had a plan, and God always has a plan, because I don't think that God is the author of evil, but I think God always goes to work even when evil happens. I think God allows free will, but God goes to work in surprising, unexpected ways, and he's able to bring good out of tragedy. That's the story of grace. His plan was not to let human suffering, injustice, and death go unanswered. Now, this passage and others tells us that God's plan for redemption and deliverance is from ancient times. It's probably coinciding with the very moments of creation itself. God was not isolating himself from his world, but God was at work in the unfolding of all creation and eventually human beings. I think we see every sign that this was a long and gradual unfolding as God worked. It may have taken billions of years if we're reading the fingerprints God left behind accurately with science. But however long it took, the created order took shape and eventually became a sanctuary in which all God's creatures could live and offer worship. As it happened, this is a fallen world, where we share space with disease and unfortunately with sin and evil. And God has challenged us human beings. He's given us that responsibility of caring for creation and of protecting the vulnerable. So it's a beautiful world. It really is. And you can see that, I'm sure, driving to church this morning. But I hope you're keeping your eyes on the road safely. But I love to take pictures of the view in my backyard. There are a few trees that are still left up, and I can look across the tops of those trees and see the ridge that goes right along the state line between Indiana and Illinois. The sunsets are breathtaking sometimes. And then at night, I have a near perfect view of the night sky from the backyard. I love it. I look up at it. I try to take pictures of it. And I look for the constellations and reminders of those basic rhythms that God has built into the created order. Nobody can tell me that God hasn't created amazing beauty and a predictable order of landscapes and night skies. And it fills me with wonder. So in the midst of this fallen world, with many problems and many false hopes around us, we can find the light. We can discover the order that is there. We can see God's plan unfolding if we look for it. So Paul is reminding us of the value of finding our hope in Jesus and reminding us that this is unlocking the key to the meaning of where it's all headed in God's unfolding plan. So he has this phrase in there, setting your hope on Christ. Out of all the possible options, Jesus' original followers and the apostles that he called out from among them were the first to set their hope on Christ. And that's what this letter declares. Now, they were making an incredible choice. Some of them were immediately orphaned by their families as soon as they made that choice. And yet, they made that choice. They may have been considered dead by others, but they found new and eternal life in Jesus. They made this choice in the grace that God gave them and in the grace that God gives everyone. They made this choice as Jesus called them into a whole new life. And God's long-range plan laid out before the eons of time unfolded, and God was in that planning for what would follow for those who would choose to put themselves at the mercy of God and to trust in what God has provided in Jesus. So that's what's being planned for. That's what's predestined. That's what God had long declared, that those who would turn and trust Christ would experience something powerful. Those who turn to Jesus, who is called the Christ, which is another word for the Messiah, they would experience these good things. And his plan outlined the incredible blessings that would flow for all who believe. And so, for those who choose to believe, there is a destiny of spiritual blessings. A lot of people have misinterpreted this passage, in my opinion. And you see words here like destined or predestined or beforehand. And people try to say that this was all predetermined in terms of exactly who would get to experience it. Some have suggested that the game is rigged, and some people are insiders who have no choice but they'll be saved, and others are outsiders who have no choice but will be damned. But I think that's bad theology, and frankly, as you're looking at the passage, bad grammar. I believe, and I've been taught, that God has foreknowledge of us all in that he created us, designed us for a purpose, and set us into our times. This passage is speaking to that in a general sense. But Paul is very excited here because this one was probably captured down by an amanuensis, I think. Because as you look at this passage closely, it's coming fast and furious. So I can imagine him walking around and talking, and someone trying really hard to get it all down and keep up. Paul seems to be in preaching mode here, and he's fired up and he's leaning forward on his tiptoes. So the grammar is giving way to the onslaught of content that is flowing from his heart about the amazing things that God has done for all of us. I still remember the day I received in the mail a special Greek New Testament. It had margins on the side, and I was in seminary, and I was excited to begin to put it to use, and I set out to try to translate this passage in the margin there. I kept looking for punctuation, but I didn't find much in this passage. And if you were looking at the manuscript, of course, they were all just crunched together. But in the Greek New Testaments that scholars get, they make an attempt to guess where those punctuation marks are. But in this passage, that just flows, and it just kind of comes all at the end. But sorting through it all, it becomes clear to me that what was destined is this, what we see in verses 12 and 13. So that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you'd heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. So here's what was planned for in advance. That Paul and the other apostles, who were the first to set their hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. So the idea was that for those who did set their hope on Christ, that here's what would follow in their lives. Here are the blessings. Here is the mission and purpose that would take shape for their lives going forward. And this is what I find in almost all similar passages in the New Testament. That what is destined is what will happen for those who do set their hope on Christ. It's not that they will set their hope on Christ, and it's not that they had no choice in the matter. Setting one's hope on Christ is an intentional act, amen? And that's something you must choose to do. Now, Paul says elsewhere that it's this grace in which we stand. So it's not that we make this choice on our own. It's not that we can pat ourselves on the back with a good work for having set our hope on Christ. It's more like we made a disaster out of our lives, and now we turn and see the better option that's there, and God, as the wind at our back, makes it easy for us to make that choice. But once you have set your hope on Christ, many good things are mapped out for us to live to the praise of his glory, not for our own glory. And yes, then to experience the amazing blessings in Christ. It seems quite clear when you read it carefully. Salvation isn't automatic for anyone. Nobody is excluded on a whim either. Whosoever will may come. And all who come are blessed immeasurably and destined to live for God's glory. Now that's reassuring. The flip side of this is where we need to be careful. If we don't make any effort to live for God's glory, we should not assume that all is well. God's love is not conditional, but many of God's blessings are based on our response and taking God up on God's offer. You could have a wonderful gift. Like, let's say you got a fabulous gift for Christmas and someone gave it to you and it's wrapped beautifully and it's sitting there and you're like, wow, that looks like an amazing gift. Thanks for that. And then you just went on, right? And the gift sits there unopened, right? I mean, it's something prepared in advance for you, right? But if you didn't open it, then the benefits of what's inside cannot bless your life. Amen? And that's how it goes with God. So this morning, have you opened the gift? Have you taken God up on God's offer? Or, on the flip side, have you lost that sense of wonder at the amazing grace of God? Or maybe you're like three kings who looked up at the night sky and they saw a sign of something new, of a better story, of a greater king, of one who could set all things right and make all of life come together in our hearts. Let's be wise men and women of God this morning. Let's live in the endless spiritual blessings of Christ, the unshakable inheritance of all who truly follow Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this good word from your word, that you have so much in store, so many ways that you want to bless us, and through us, living to the praise of your glory, to bless the whole world around us. Forgive us, Lord, where Christians have fallen short and fallen for lesser stories and conspiracy theories and things that sap all the energy and the good out of our experience of life. But this morning, thank you for this larger story that is always true, that is the foundation of everything good and right in our world. And thank you for Jesus, who is underneath all of those thoughts and ideas, and he is the one holding things together, and he is the one holding us right now. Lord, we're locked in a battle in our world. Sometimes people are feeling squeezed in and a bit claustrophobic right now, but Lord, your kingdom is breaking forth even in the midst of this time of trial, and nothing is going to stop these blessings that you have set in order for them to flow into our lives through Jesus. And so, Father, may we just be reminded that the good things that are there and the good things that are coming, they are there because of Jesus, and they are going to unfold according to your good purpose. So let us lean in to trusting you more. Let us lean in to receive your guidance in our lives. Let us lean in and open our lives fully and open that gift and receive not only the immediate salvation of forgiveness, but the ongoing transformation that we might be the people of God. And thank you, Lord, that we now have an inheritance that cannot be taken away. We now have a hope and a future. And though we were orphaned, we now have a family, the family of God, that can restore our families to what they are meant to be. But Father, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, and help us in this moment and in this day when we have so many other stories set before us to set our hope on Christ. With your eyes still closed this morning, let the Holy Spirit nudge you today, wherever you are, watching or listening. This morning I pray that you will set your hope on Christ. That begins with an awareness of sin and brokenness in our own lives, where we confess our sins. And the word says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In this moment now, please, if you need to do that, if you've never done that, take that step. And then believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one who was to come. Jesus who came marked by a star in the sky, Jesus who came to fulfill all the longings and the hopes, Jesus who came to forgive and to restore, Jesus who died for sins, Jesus who was raised from the dead, Jesus who has ascended to the right hand of the Father and will come to judge, but right now is here dispensing his grace, calling us into the family of God and setting a new and fresh course for our lives. Lean into that. Believe into that this morning by the grace of God. And allow that story to change you. And allow yourself to move into this blessed life of living for God's glory. Father, for everyone who's done that, even just now, as we've been praying together, I pray that you'll now, in Jesus' name, bring assurance deeply into their lives that they are part of your kingdom, part of your family in a special way this morning. And I pray, Lord, that we will heed the call to live a life worthy and to live a life that spreads good news. Lord, we can see right in front of us those who need us, those who could be helped and encouraged by our faith. And I just pray, Lord, that you will empower us to reach out in love. And then, Lord, carry us through this season of trial and on to better days. And as we look back, may we be able to see how you have guided us to navigate through these temporary days and on forward into life with you. And we ask all of these things in that name that is above every other name, the name that means so much to us, the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, and our soon and coming King. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, it's been good to be in God's house this morning. Let's stand together. And let's declare our faith once again by saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now go in the grace of God. Continue to take God up on his offer and live in the rich blessings of Jesus. In his name, amen. Grace and peace to you.